What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here, Firm of the Skinny Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about the brand new Star Wars TV show. We got all the information kind of announced last week, including the first look, where we got to see the main character and the armor. We also got to learn a little bit more what the name of the show was, which is called the Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
And also heard of what the different directors are going to be involved in this one, because they've definitely got some different directors behind the TV show. So first off, James, what did you think of the announcements from last week?
Well, I gotta say, we've only got the one picture, but I'm already more excited for The Mandalorian than I think I have been for any other Star Wars project in quite some time. And that's actually saying a decent amount, because I am interested in The Resistance, which is starting this week, I believe. And I'm also looking forward to the last season of Clone Wars and all the movies and stuff. But just the one picture from The Mandalorian, I was like, all right, I'm in. Let's see this show. But we know almost nothing else about it other than that.
No, it looks, I mean, the image they've shown is very much kind of, it looks like Boba Fett, because they're from the same race.
Tribe?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, we've seen little throwbacks to these before in like, was it like Force Awakens in Mez's like castle, with like all the different like logos and stuff. So it's kind of, and we've also seen Sabine in the Rebel show as well. She kind of had all this armor on. So it's not just Jango Fett and Boba Fett. You know, we've seen this kind of thing before. The question is this going to be Sabine? Is it going to be a new character? Is it going to be a female? Is it a male? Looking at the armor, it looks a little bit more male than female, but they could still twist it on us at the last second.
I mean, this is the same company that has Captain Phasma in armor that looks gender neutral as well. So it could be a woman under there. We don't know yet. I would be very surprised if it was Sabine, though. I don't think that they'll cross her. She might appear in the show. We know she's alive at least after Return of the Jedi, thanks to the series closure for Rebels, but we don't know after that. I suspect they'll go off and do their own thing. This is probably a completely new character.
Yeah.
And they do reference in the description that they gave us, or the crawl, whatever you want to call it, that this is a person who is influenced by Jango and Boba Fett. So it's not, most likely not one of them, probably not even directly related to one of them. But it's not just Sabine that we've seen in the past. You know, the Mandalorians played a fairly big role in both the Clone Wars and the Rebels television shows. We had the Death Watch. They were in Disney Infinity 3.0, not as playable characters, of course, but they were there. So there's a very rich history for the Mandalorians to draw on. There's a lot of different ways they can go with this show. Just from the picture alone, though, it looks like it's going to be more Western style, which, I mean, fits perfectly with the Star Wars aesthetic, so.
Yeah. Also, it gives them a way of selling a whole load of merchandise if it's a brand new character, you know, rather than it just being an upgrade. The suit's a little bit more simplistic, which is not a bad thing. But also, I did see some articles online that were showing how close the armor was to an old video game. Was it like 14-something? I can't remember the exact year. But there was a video game that got cancelled that was set about one of these kind of Mandalorian. I'm gonna have to get my tongue twister out on that one. So that one's definitely going to be tie into how that one looks. This one's going to be coming direct to Disney streaming service. It apparently has a massive budget, so that's obviously a major thing about trying to get this streaming service off the ground and getting, you know, people to subscribe. And I think a big Star Wars live act, because they don't look like they're pulling any punches. They know that they need some big hitters on this service to get people to subscribe.
Yeah, and if they can make this kind of their Westworld kind of show, obviously not that level of maturity. It's still Star Wars. We're not expecting them to be cursing. We're not expecting blood to be flying everywhere, that kind of thing. But if they can get that kind of engaging storytelling that we expect from, say, an HBO-level production, they could definitely sell subscriptions with a show like this. they could also end up inciting a whole lot of piracy. But we'll see what ends up happening. We do know the director, at least, or the showrunner, I guess, Jon Favreau, who did both of the first two Iron Man movies, and he did the live-action Jungle Book a couple years ago. He's got a very strong track record. So, you know, I've got pretty decent expectations for this. This is one that I want to see more of.
Yeah, and also I think as well, being a television show, they're going to have a little bit longer to expand on this character, you know, because you're essentially looking, say it's a, I don't know, an 8 to 10 episode series. That's 8 to 10 hours. That's the entire length of, you know, the trilogy, you know, so we've got, that's definitely got more time to flesh out more characters and give them a little bit more scope. You know, we've seen it with like what they've done with Marvel, of how much more developed like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage's and Iron Fist's backstory were developed because they've had longer to, rather than just a flitting screen mean moment on a screen kind of thing. So that's definitely going to be a good thing about it. But also they've got some different directors involved. So they've got I can't pronounce his name, from that did Thor Ragnarok. And he's got a very good strong record. They've also they've brought in one of the directors who did the she's a woman that did the Jessica Jones, Dallas Bryce Howard, who we might remember from like the Jurassic Worlds, and obviously her dad did direct Solo, or kind of got brought into it. But she's directed lots of little shorts, and it's just this kind of thing. And also the guy that directs and sorts out all the like the Clone Wars and the Rebels TV shows, he's leading his hands to live action stuff as well. So quite a strong lineup.
Yeah, no, it's a very impressive lineup. It does remind me a bit of Jurassic Park, since we're talking Jurassic World in there. They spared no expense, but hopefully they actually spared no expense, unlike the director or the owner of Jurassic Park in the first movie. But yeah, all the current signs are positive, but we also have to acknowledge we know basically nothing about it at this point. We have one image, we have one synopsis, and we have a list of creators. It's a very impressive list of creators. It's a very cool image. The synopsis is engaging, but until we see this in action, until we see a trailer, more promo pics, find out who the actors are, find out what the story is, you know, we've got to keep our expectations tempered. And that's what I keep reminding myself frequently is, you know,
yeah,
we don't know. We just don't.
We don't know a lot. And this is kind of the, you know, I think for me, I'm looking at this and going, it's on their streaming platform. They want to do it properly. They're going to invest a lot of money in it. They're getting the right people involved to do it. Giving every, almost feels like they're giving a lot of different people some different options. It's almost like, right, we're going to spread this out amongst different directors, see where they go, see how they handle it. Maybe then it's almost like a little, sort of like an apprentice thing of like, let's let you do an episode and we'll see if you can do a whole series, because we're in the mood for a new director.
I mean, it's a strategy that's worked before, not necessarily for Disney, although they probably have used it, but testing out new talent on a television show before moving them on to movies is tried and true. And there's plenty of people on that list alone who I would be perfectly happy to see taking a hand at the bigger shows as well, or the bigger movies, yeah. I should say.
The only thing that does get me is that in some ways of how much continuity, because things are going to be a bit different each time. But we used to it with television shows where they have different people and you kind of get used to the way it runs kind of thing.
I do kind of prefer the British way in this regard, though, where you've got one showrunner who kind of writes the entire season. Granted, the season's only like 3 or 6 episodes, but, you know, there's at least that continuity, as opposed to the American style with one broad overall showrunner and then individual people write the episodes and different directors direct the episodes. It's led to some inconsistencies in American shows. Game of Thrones leaps to mind. Whether or not you actually pay attention to who the directors are, there is a noticeable quality difference from episode to episode of Game of Thrones. Some of the, especially in later seasons, there are some episodes which are just mind-blowingly amazing, and other ones where you're sitting there going, who greenlit this? Who thought this was a good idea? And a lot of the times it comes down to who the directors are. So again, the talent pool is solid, definitely. So I don't think we'll see that much of an issue here. Plus, Dave Filoni knows how to manage a TV series. He did it for Clone Wars. He did it for Rebels. He's doing it for Resistance. He knows what he's doing. It's at least got my confidence right now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. But then again, it's a Star Wars show. I just want some more Star Wars. That's basically what I'm into and what I want to see from it. It's a television show, so instantly it drops down on my expectations because it's for TV or it's for, you know, the streaming thing. I'm not expecting a movie level. You know, I'm expecting more focus on real people than on special effects. You know, we probably will see that kind of thing, but it's going to be a lot less than we used to in a normal Star Wars movie. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That might help really flesh out these characters. It's also set between The Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. That gives them scope to maybe not focus too much on the Empire and the... Because that's the whole thing. Is that whole thing's really going to be kind of in the dark and not be part of it? Maybe they can do a few things if they start finding out some things about the First Order and stuff, but that could be an interesting aspect as well.
And this is a good move in the right direction if they kind of follow through with not having it linked too closely to the Empire or the Rebellion, which would be at the Republic at that point. Because we've complained in the past, even recently, that a big problem with the current Disney Star Wars initiative is rather than making the universe feel bigger, they're starting to connect all the characters so that they're crossing paths constantly within each other's stories. And it's kind of making the universe feel very small.
Yeah.
Whereas this, we don't expect to see Luke or Leia or Han, if only for the reason, like, who would you cast them as? Mm-hmm. You can't obviously use the original cast, especially in some cases. And recasting them when you had them playing the character in Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, you know, is a little too difficult. So this gives them a chance to expand the universe, the Star Wars universe, without relying on characters that we already know, with the possible exception of Boba Fett. We don't know if he'll show up or not. We don't know if he's alive. It's been referenced in one of the books that he's probably alive, but we don't know for sure. Other than him, though, I would not expect to see any recognizable characters in this.
No, and in some ways, you think about, like, you have a whole planet full of people, and you randomly just land in the middle of New York City. I'm not likely to bump into the one person I know there every single time I land on. And suddenly then I'm going to go to a completely another planet and land in a random city. And so, and it's that kind of thing, like you say, it's all made it a little bit too small. They got a little bit too obsessed with trying to make everything connected. So it instantly goes, well, they're connected to them, so therefore we must know them. It's like, actually, no, we might never see those people again. And I think that might not necessarily be a bad thing.
Yeah, I would actually kind of prefer if there was less crossover in this case. Not to say the crossover is bad. It's definitely nice to see characters that you recognize. But they need to be building this universe out. They need to be populating it with new characters, new aliens, new villains, new heroes, people that we don't know already. And we can't be in a situation where the only heroes in the galaxy are the Skywalkers and the Solos.
Yeah, so it's definitely kind of one of those things of, yeah, they've just got to expand it out. But we'd love to know what you guys think of this and the new Star Wars show. We'd love to know what you think in the comments below or get in touch with us on social media. You can find us over at DizKingdom.com. You can follow, like, and subscribe on all the different platforms. James, where can they find you?
You can find me at HeroicLegacy.com.
Okay, and then you can, as I said, check us out over at DizKingdom.com. So we shall see you guys soon. Laters.
Later. Later.